I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Gracious God, wherever we are at this moment, you are with us. So may we sense your presence in ways that are compellingly real. Open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds, that in the midst of my words, your word might be heard. Amen. As we reflect on today's gospel lesson from the 23rd chapter of Matthew, right up front, I want to stress something. I do not want us to get too focused on the scribes and the Pharisees. It's easy to point our accusing, judgmental fingers at them, to wag our heads in disapproval of their behavior. But the truth of the matter is, for all of us, at some point in our lives, we have been guilty of engaging in their very same behavior. Like them, we have not always practiced what we have preached. At times, we have been far too concerned about appearances. We've done good things for the wrong reasons, motivated by self-interest or the desire to impress. We have forgotten who we are in relation to the Savior we claim. And like the scribes and the Pharisees, we need to be reminded that we are not the teachers. We, each one of us, are students. And the moment we forget that, we are in big trouble. The moment we think we have learned everything we need to learn, the moment we think we know everything we need to know, we are sunk. As I read and reread today's gospel lesson, three messages came through loudly and clearly for me, and they are all somewhat connected with each other. A message about humility, a message about servant leadership, and a message about being authentic and true as opposed to being hypocritical. Let's begin with the message about humility. What is clear as we read these words directed toward the scribes and the Pharisees is that humility is a posture we as people of faith must willingly embrace. In fact, I would go so far as to say it needs to be our default response. Now keep in mind, I'm not talking about a humility that is, woe is me, wretched worm am I. No. Because humility is not about thinking less of self. We are, after all, created in the divine image. But it is about thinking of self less. And those two things are not the same. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul describes what a life of faith looks like. And he describes it in this way. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. Now there's a good old word. But associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. In fact, I would make the observation that anyone who claims to be wiser than he or she isn't wise at all. And yes, there is a difference between self-esteem, which is necessary and valuable, and self-aggrandizement, which is not a good thing. I especially like Carter Hayward's definition or description of what humility looks like. Hayward, an Episcopalian priest and a theologian, describes humility in this way. Genuine humility is a gift from God, which has nothing to do with downcast eyes, a misty voice, or noble stories of sacrifice. Humility is rather living courageously in a spirit of radical connectedness with others, which enables us to see ourselves as God sees us, as sisters and brothers, each as deeply valued and worthy of respect as every other. Yes, humility is about knowing who we are and whose we are. And that radical connectedness, that's important. I know the word radical has gotten something of a bum rap these days. It's used in a disparaging way. It's used to make people feel fearful of those who have radical convictions. But at heart, radical is about being impassioned about what we believe, acting upon it, giving of ourselves entirely. In Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of this passage of scripture, he writes, "Don't be stuck up. Don't be the great somebody." And we know if you walk around with your nose in the air, you will indeed end up flat on your face. How quick we are to point out the speck in our neighbor's eye, that is to identify their faults, while totally ignoring the log in our own eye. A log that far too often prevents us from seeing our neighbor as God sees our neighbor. That is, with love, with compassion, with mercy. One of my very favorite quotes from Ralph Waldo Emerson is this one: "A great person is always willing to be little." I mentioned there were three things that jumped out at me as I read today's scripture passage. The second has to do with service. And I would argue that our lesson clearly indicates that service is an honorable vocation. Servant leadership is the way to go. I sort of chuckle when I think about the dozens and dozens of books that have been written in recent years and circulated in corporate centers and circles as though servant leadership were something new, a grand, novel idea, when in fact Jesus was demonstrating servant leadership over 2,000 years ago. Leading, teaching by example, quietly showing the way by his actions. It has been said, if you want to know what a person believes, watch their feet, not their mouth. And that third lesson that seems to come through loudly and clearly in today's lesson is one about the importance of being real, authentic, as opposed to hypocritical. Hypocrisy is something we all see in our world. It is dangerous. For us as people of faith, it diminishes our witness in the world. Hypocrites are actors. They are persons who are not themselves on Sunday. They are not being who they are authentically throughout the week. Hypocrites are fake. Okay, so we hear that word fake a lot these days, often in reference to fake news versus real news. Just an observation. Something isn't fake simply because we don't like it or we disagree with it. Fake is bigger than that. In fact, another definition of fake is a cheap or poor imitation. Hypocrites are poor imitations of what Christ has called us to be or do, and we are all subject to falling into that trap. A few hundred years ago, Ambrose Bierce described hypocrisy in this way: hypocrisy is prejudice with a halo. Think about that. Hypocrisy is prejudice with a halo. Bierce was a Civil War veteran, a satirist, a journalist, a wise man. Whether you put a halo on prejudice or not, it is still the same, a bad thing. Followers of Christ are called to be humble, servant leaders, authentic and real, not fake or hypocritical. Which leads us to today, All Saints' Day. In Pastor Addie's children's message, she described saints as those who bring us closer to God. In a recent communication from our conference minister, the Reverend Bill Worley describes saints in this way: saints are those who keep faith in God even when they have no good reason for doing so. And my very favorite definition of a saint is one that I learned from my colleague in ministry, John Tutchbury, with whom I had the privilege of working for 19 years. John would always say, a saint is anyone who makes it easier for us to believe in God. Saints are not perfect people. Most of them don't work miracles. They are, though, humble, real, transparent. They exude a spirit that is compelling and genuine. They are congruent. That is, they don't act one way in public and another way in private. They are not actors. They are who they are through thick and thin. Today's gospel lesson reminds us of some very important truths. Every generation has its scribes and Pharisees. Every nation has its scribes and Pharisees. Every religious organization has its scribes and Pharisees. That is, leaders who say one thing and do another. Blind guides who focus on making a public spectacle while neglecting what truly matters. But Christ calls us to embrace a different way of being in this world, and that is to stand with and alongside of others, to not view ourselves as inherently better than others. Oh yes, we may be better off. We may be more fortunate. We may have had more opportunities, but all of those mores are all the more reason for us to stoop down and reach out to those who could use our help. Not a hand out, but a hand up. This I know. When we choose to stand out by stepping down, by being a servant, it is then that we are in step with Christ, and Christ steps with us. In the words of Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, if you puff yourself up, you'll get the wind knocked out of you. But if you're content to be yourself, your life will count for plenty. I would add, if you are content to be yourself, God's Spirit will become the wind beneath your wings, the breath that fills you with the life that really is life. But don't take my word for it. Try it. You'll see. You will not be disappointed.